I should finish up with our statement of faith here this evening. And we're looking at Article 6 as our last article dealing with church finances. And we're just going to look at some important lessons from the Bible about a church's finances. So, first, the church's work should be supported by the tithes and offerings of the members and not by worldly means such as investments or operating businesses. That's important, I think. The only way you see a church being supported in the Bible is through tithes and offerings. You don't see it any other way. And now, I don't say this to be mean, but let's think biblically. I don't see anywhere in here where they're having a churchyard sale, a church bake sale, in order to raise funds to take care of the church. Now, I'm not opposed to someone having a yard sale. Obviously do that. And if you want to donate that money to the church, then well, praise the Lord. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But the church operates on tithes and offerings. That's the only thing you see in the Bible. And there's so many worldly means that come in order to finance what a church does, what churches do, that it's unbiblical, though. And a lot of it comes in with youth groups. And, you know, that can be either way. Like if you want to have kids sell candy, well, that's them going out and working. That may be. But like churches will have inside their meeting house, they'll have like a coffee shop, and then they use that, they make a profit off of that money, and then they'll use it for whatever, the youth ministry or whatever ministry it is within the church to buy new pews or something. And I'm like, that's not how God meets the needs. It's through tithes and offerings. That's the only thing we see. I don't know why it's so hard for us to follow that pattern, but one thing we want to focus on is that's the means for meeting the needs, tithes and offerings. Now, there's a bunch of different offerings you can take, and people say, well, all churches want are money. Well, funny, we live in a world that to get anything done, you have to have money. I mean, don't we realize that? That's the world that we live in. And it doesn't bother me if someone comes here and gets mad because, well, all you talk about is money, all you want is money. I'm like, this isn't the place for you then. Because I don't feel that I talk about money very much or that I push that, but there are times when, hey, it's time to give. We need to give. And we have a giving church. We always have, really. And I'm thankful for that. That people, I believe, sacrifice even in their giving in this church. And I'm thankful for that. And that's how it should be. That's what a church should be made up of, is people that willingly give to the Lord out of an honest and a pure heart. We want the Lord to have this. We're not like Ananias and Sapphira, whoever it was. I mix up their names. Was it Ananias and Sapphira? Maybe it was. Okay, Ananias and Sapphira that they gave but were holding back part of it. And, you know, the thing is, they could have held back part of it and said, hey, here, we're just giving this much because this is what we can give. And it wouldn't have even been a problem. But they gave a false impression that this is what we sold the land for and we're giving all of it because they wanted accolades. You know, and that's not what it's about. That's not why we're doing it. Like, nobody needs to know what anybody does. You know, my right hand doesn't know what my left hand does. It's that type of thing. We just do because this is what God wants. And this is the means that God has chosen to provide for His church. And that's how it should be. Now, if another church or some other person wants to give to our church, that's an offering. Praise the Lord. We will take it. I have no problem with that. But we're not going to go, like, to try and start some business or something like that to try and get people to bring money in. And we're not going to have a coffee shop that makes money. You know, the one thing, I would still do this, I would have a bookstore where people have to buy books. But it's going to be priced, the book, plus a little extra so we can resupply it and pay the shipping. So it's not costing us to have the books brought in. But I don't have a problem with that. Now, some people might, you know, there's people out there that will use anything you say to call you a hypocrite, to attack you. Whatever, then. You don't like it, then pack your bags and move on. I mean, that's how I see that, really. Because with something like that, what I'd be trying to do is get good material in people's hands. And that's one thing I want to do, I would like to do, and Lord willing, in the future, we will have a bookstore where we can just come and pick up, you know, here's where you could get good material. that's trusted. And, you know, we paid, what, $7 for this book, and we're selling it for $7.50 or $8 or whatever. That way the next time we order more, the shipping's covered. The book is covered. That's all it would be. We're not doing it to make money. We're not doing it to make a profit. So the church's work needs to be supported by tithes and offerings of the members and not by worldly means such as investments and operating businesses. Let's go real quick to a few references. Let's go to Genesis 14, if we would, please. And Genesis 14, 18, it says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all." Abraham gave Melchizedek tithes of all. That's how it was done. It was through tithes. This is what we see throughout the Bible. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. It's right before Matthew. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." But he says, bring the tithes into the storehouse. That's going to be the church now for us today. That's where that's at. And people want to argue and say, well, oh, tithing's just under the law. No, it's not, because before the law it was given. Abraham's doing it to Melchizedek. He's doing it before then. We're to do it today. It's still for us today. A tithe is 10%. And you know what? That is the baseline of giving. That is like the baseline. This is where you start. And that's why it's tithes and offerings. But the baseline for anyone, a building block, if you want God's blessing on your life, start right there. You know, and obviously there's a bunch of other things. This is just one aspect of the Christian life. But tithing, you know, how much do you love God if you're not willing to give to Him? Like, I don't believe you. If you don't give to God, I don't believe you love Him. I don't believe you think His work is important. I don't think He means very much to you if you're not willing to give to Him. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, there's people that give more money to go on vacation than they do give to God. Like, well, who do you love more? I wonder. Self, because I give for things for me, but I don't give to God. You know, that right there is a telltale sign to me of your walk with God. If you're not willing to give to Him, there's a problem. There's a huge problem in your life if you're not willing to give to Him. That's just not negotiable in my eyes. Let's go one more spot, 1 Corinthians 16. Let me add, too, that I said that's not negotiable in my eyes, but that's between you and the Lord. Even that is between you and the Lord. Okay? So you take that up with God. But God clearly wants His people giving, because that's how His work goes forward. That is one way God tests you as well, to see where your heart is. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store." Remember, in Malachi, it was the storehouse. "Lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." What? Give it on the first day of the week to the church and lay it in store. Keep it so that when you need it, you can give it out. That's what's happening. When does that happen? The first day of the week. When is that? Sunday. Amen. That's biblical right there. Someone for that reason, if someone says, "Well, I don't want to give in the offering on Wednesday," okay, then give in the offering on Sunday. Amen. That's when we see them giving. But I don't have a problem when a church has an offering. I'm just saying they did it at the church. When the church was assembled, that's when they gave. Okay? The tithes and offerings should be taken up each week. We just read that. Each member should give a proportion of what God has given to him. God has promised to bless those who give cheerfully. Let's look at this, 2 Corinthians 9. And verse 6, 2 Corinthians 9, 6, it says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." So our blessing, in regard to giving is done based on how much we give. If you give a little, you'll get a little. If you give a lot, you'll get a lot. That's what God's saying here. How does He do it? I don't know. This is what He says right here. He which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Get this, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Do it because you want to. That's why you should give to God, because you want to. And you're like, didn't you just say all this, that everyone should tithe? Yes, I did, because that's what God says. So give it because you love God. If you don't want to, don't. Don't give then. I mean, that's just how it is. Give because you love God. I mean, that's why I give. Man, I love God. I want His work going forward. I want to give to the Lord. And by the way, I've said this a lot, but as soon as you put it in the offering plate, it's not yours anymore. It's God's. Amen. It belongs to Him. So God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Having all sufficiency, just what's sufficient. He doesn't say you need above or beyond, but sufficient. But the tithes and offerings belong to the Lord. And you can see that in Leviticus 27:30, Malachi 3:10. This means that when people give through the church, they are not giving to men, but to God. And a lot of people have a hard time with that. They think, well, that's my offering. Well, okay, you're right. It is your offering. Who'd you give it to? Okay, so once you gave it, whose is it? It's not yours anymore. It's God's. You gave it to God. And by the way, with that principle, if the tithe belongs to God and the offerings belong to God, then by default, who don't they belong to? To you, but who else? Me, who else? The government. The government. They don't belong to the government. The government doesn't get to come in and tax it. No, it's not yours. Amen. Lower authority doesn't tax a higher authority. Nuh-uh, it doesn't work that way. You don't get to do that. They don't get to do that. It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to God. The tithes and offerings belong to the Lord. Let's go ahead and look at these so we can see it. Leviticus 27, verse 30. Leviticus 27:30 says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." The tithe is the Lord's. It belongs to God. Therefore, it does not belong to man. Jesus said, "You know, that which belongeth to Caesar, render unto Caesar which is Caesar's, and render to God what is God's." He said, "Hey, give to Caesar what's his. There's taxes, then you pay them. What belongs to God is God's. You don't give what belongs to God to Caesar. You understand it? It's God's. It belongs to God." These are principles we see, and then they mean something then. And most churches do not follow this. Most churches do not follow this. You say, well, how don't they follow this? By paying, and people throw a fit about this stuff, but I'm not even going to say it. Never mind. I don't want to. I'll tell you later if you want to know. All right, so the tithe belongs to the Lord. This means that when people give through the church, they are not giving to men but to God. Church members must not think that the church money is their own money. It is the Lord's. The finances must be used prayerfully and wisely according to God's will. These decisions will be made by the pastor as the steward of God. You can see that in 1 Corinthians 4:1-2 and Titus 1:7. Let's go ahead and look at them. Real quickly, man, I'm not going to finish today. My goodness, I had every intention, I mean that, of finishing today. First Corinthians 4:1-2, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And I'll take it farther and say every one of us is a steward of God. We're a saved child of God. God has given you certain things. Even if you're not, if you're lost, you're a steward of God. He's given you a life that He gave it to you. He says, you be a good steward of this. What does He want you to do? Be born again? What does He want you to do? Become a part of His kingdom? We're all stewards of God. Okay? And then Titus 1:7 as well. This specifically is to a pastor. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. So the bishop's the steward of God, the manager of what belongs to God. That's essentially what it's saying. Okay, he's the manager of what belongs to the Lord. So these decisions will be made by the pastor as the steward of God. No one can borrow from the church money, not the elders nor the church members, because the money is only for the Lord's business and should never be used for private purposes. Now, the church can give money to somebody. That's not an issue at all. But we're not a bank. The church should not seek help from the unsaved for the Lord's work. When the offerings are taken, and there's references to all of these, but when the offerings are taken, the leaders should explain that it is the business of the church members to support the church. If a visitor wants to give to the offering, as the offering plate is passed, that is his business, but the church should not seek help from the unsaved. So let's talk about then a church yard sale. Are we not seeking help from the unsaved? Can we talk about getting tax-exempt status? That's seeking help from the unsaved. See, we're getting permission from the unsaved. It's been proven in case law with Bob Jones University that is welfare. That getting that tax exemption is welfare. And I know a lot of preachers that preach against it, but they're okay with it for their church. Okay, now the thing is, churches are non-taxable. Now, I already told you why, but I want you all to tell me, why are churches non-taxable? That's it, you got it. Because a lower authority cannot tax a higher authority. God is above any human government. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Okay? Lower authority doesn't tax a higher authority. It never works like that. Never works like that. So a church is non-taxable. And even throughout history, as they tried to tax churches, there was, you know, politicians that said, no, you can't tax God. They understood this principle. They said, you cannot tax God. We can't do that. And then when churches first started getting taxed was in the, I think it was the early 80s with the FICA tax. What is that? Payroll tax. Payroll tax. That's when churches first started getting taxed. And for years they said, you can't tax God. You can't tax God. They understood that. But our country has gotten so far away from, you can't even mention God now if you're in politics and you're like ostracized. I mean, that's where we've gotten now. That's where it is. You know, I mean, the ridiculousness of what's happening in our society. How many of you remember Tebowing? Tebowing, you remember that? Tim Tebow kneeling? You know, but they told him he can't do that anymore. They didn't like him doing it. Why? Because he talked about Jesus Christ and he was praying to God. Now fast forward about 7 years. And now you got coaches apologizing for not kneeling. Head coaches of college football team this last week apologized, I think of Ohio State, if I'm not mistaken, apologized for not kneeling. For not kneeling. And what a spineless coward to me. But what is it? In one instance it's okay, in another it's not. Why? Because we're a godless society. Don't represent God. I remember even players when Tebow was doing that said, I just wish he'd shut up and quit talking about God all the time. Other players were saying that. Why? Because, man, darkness loves darkness. They don't want light. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. They don't want the light shining on it, and that's what that was. Something as simple as that, that's what it was. I don't want to hear about that. Don't make me feel bad for that. So we should not seek help from the unsaved for the Lord's work. It's only to be the duty of church members. We don't seek help from the unsaved. It's important we remember that. When you start taking stands like that, this stuff will be challenged. If someone just anonymously wants to put in money, whatever, fine. I'm not going to go questioning every single person that gives. Okay, I'm not going to do that. That's up to you if you want to give. And that's just where I'm going to leave it. But this stuff will start to be challenged when you start taking stands for things. It could be in your own personal life. It could be as a church. Do you really believe this? Is this really what you believe? Are you going to follow this? You know, do we just sing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus? Though none go with me, still I will follow. Or do we actually mean it? You know, we're taking a stand right now on, you know, the governor's not going to tell us what we can do. The governor cannot shut us down. We're not going to let her. Because why? It's the same principle as taxing the Lord, what belongs to the Lord. Because you're a lower authority. You have no authority in the Lord's work. You have zero authority in the Lord's work. By the way, pray for Brother Woodside. Pray for his church. It seems, I know I've mentioned it a while back, but and we've been praying for them for several years now for this, but their church has just been under attack. And finally, because they were incorporated and all that, and they're trying to get out of it, they had former members were causing problems. But now, I just spoke with him, I think it was yesterday on the phone. But now that looks like that's getting resolved. And those former members are going to sign something saying they won't cause any more problems and all that. So it's looking like that's going through. But he's right now dealing with a church in Roswell, New Mexico, that called him up, and they purchased a building, or they're renting a storefront where another church had previously been, and the fire marshal, whoever it was, fire department, saw that the church sign had changed, and they came in and told them they need to apply for a business license so you can get your certificate of occupancy. And he asked me, he said, I heard you guys, did I hear right, you lost the building? And so I caught him up to date on that, and he says, well, where are you meeting right now? And I explained to him, and he said, well, did you have to go through any of this? And I said, no, we didn't, because, you know, I try to stay under the radar. Like, I don't want problems. Like, just leave us alone. If I don't have to, just I don't want to. So I said, but I don't know what they'd do if they came in and saw us, if they try and say something. And he was saying, look, I don't care if the fire marshal wants to come in and say, look, you need a fire extinguisher here, you need one here. There's nothing wrong with that if it's going to keep you safe. He said, but when they come in and try and tell them they have to get a business license, no, they don't, because we're not a business. He says, and that's the stand that they need to take. So just pray for that church in Roswell, that they'll leave them alone and let them just do their thing. We're not a business, and we need to understand that. And so many people have lost sight of that. And we can't bow down to them because it doesn't matter what we say, they're going to define us as a business. And it's just like, no, prove I'm a business. Like, even if we were to get taken to court on that, if we were to get taken to court on us saying, no, you can't come in, no, you can't shut us down, we are not a business. We're the Lord's church. You have no authority over the Lord's church. Well, you're incorporated. You have to do this. Like, check. No, we're not. No, we're not. We are not incorporated. We're not going to be. You have zero authority over the Lord's church. If we were incorporated, it would be a whole other story. Then we'd be bowing and tucking our tail between our legs like all these other churches have. And that's what they did. But it doesn't mean one day it won't cost us. So I'm just saying that once you start taking some stands, it can be challenged. Not always, but sometimes. Okay, Daniel with prayer. Like, with this, I don't know if it'll happen. We might get challenged on it. I don't want to. I'd like to just stay under the radar. And wise as serpents, harmless as doves. If I can just hide, I will. Like, I'm serious. I don't want problems. I do not. I don't want an issue. But we need to be ready to stand for our convictions if the time comes. If or when the time comes. So, there's just a few more things. I'll pick up on it next week, and we should finish. So, it's just important that we understand that the tithe belongs to the Lord, and we need to be cheerful givers. And just be faithful to Him. Faithful to give to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank